get ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like it, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
The gang and they come and get gang. Cry me a river, give you a tissue.
It's bad and bougie. Bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. Savage. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie. Bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. Dude. My niggas are savage, ruthless. Hey. We got 30s and 100 rounds too.
Clap. All set.
Woo, 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 woo.
Records on records, got backers on backers. I'm riding around in a coupe.
Cool.
I take your bitch right from you.
You.
Bitch, I'm a dog. Woo. Beat down her walls, loose.
Hey.
Hop in the floor, woo. I tell that bitch to come comfort me.
Comfort me.
I swear these niggas is under me.
Hey.
The hate and the devil keep jumping me.
Jumping me.
Bank rolls on me, keep me company.
Hey,
we did the most.
Most.
Yeah, pull up and goes.
Woo.
Yeah, my diamonds a choker. Holding up, fire with no holster.
Bah.
Rid the ruler, diamond cooler.
Cooler.
This a roller, not a mule.
Hey.
Dabbing on them like the usual.
Damn.
Magic with the brick do voodoo.
Magic.
Courtside with a bad bitch.
Bitch.
Then I send the bitch through Uber.
Go.
I'm young and rich and plus I'm bougie.
Hey.
I'm not stupid, so I keep the Uzi.
Nah.
Records on records, got backers on backers, so my money making my back. Ay.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 197 of the report. And tonight we are joined by the host of the Bad and Boozy Podcast, So So Lovely and D'Asia. Tell everybody what's up, everybody.
Hey. Hello.
How y'all doing? Hey, Zaddies and Zombies.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed, man. It's good to have these ladies here on, man. I've been listening to them quite a bit over the last few weeks, man, with the Bad and Boozy Podcast. It's been a very entertaining journey listening to them get their thing going on. But before we get started, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Spann Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. We're going to keep this quick because everything's going to be in the show notes. Follow your boy on Twitter and Instagram. My name is Mr. Spann. Go to the website, www.thespannreport.com. Everything's available there. You can vote in the polls. You can watch this show later on. You can leave comments. You can buy some t-shirts and shit. You can do a whole lot of stuff at thespannreport.com. Go also to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Leave your man a five-star review, preferably. Those five-star reviews get read here live on the show. And that's it. That's all I'm going to say. For everything else, go ahead and put that shit in the show notes. It's already there. You can go read that in the show notes, man. Real talk. I got to cut that shit down. It's so much to go through. So, yeah, man. But So-So and D, how y'all doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
We here.
Now, of course, y'all got to let everybody know how they can get in touch with y'all too, right? So, So-So, let them know how to get at you.
Okay, well, I am the Sadiddy Snack, known as So So Lovely. And you can find me in St. Louis rolling on dubs.
We cannot say that without singing a damn song.
We cannot. I'm sorry. You can find me at Fab Fresh and Fly on Instagram and on Twitter. And if you don't know me in real life, there's no way I'm letting you follow me on Facebook.
So there you go.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Brains and Buns under the next screen name D'Asia Ali. So same thing.
There we go. There we go. Now, of course, you guys are the host, the two fabulous co-hosts of the Bad and Boozy Podcast. How did you guys come up with the concept for that show?
Oh, we got an origin story?
Yeah, y'all got an origin story. Every podcast has an origin story.
I don't think we ever thought about how to tell people the story.
A long time ago, in the galaxy far away, there were two women, one from the land of Baltimore, one from the badlands of Southern California, who met in a podcast group. We have two ladies who enjoy alcoholic beverages. And actually, we were just having a conversation one day.
I was about to say, she got the theatrics. I'm like, yeah, I was just talking to this hoe one day. And it was like,
We were just talking. I had another podcast. I still do. And Dee was a frequent guest on it. And, you know, people really like their chemistry. And we were just talking about actually a different kind of business idea. And that turned into this podcast. And then, you know what? We brainstormed. We did research. And about 2 weeks later, we was live, baby. We was live. So, you know, we're 18 episodes in the game. And, you know, we're excited to share with the world our equal parts bad and boozy and sophisticated ratchetness and all the other things that go along with it.
Yeah, like, you guys hit the ground running, man. Like, I looked up. And there was like bad and boozy everything everywhere. I was like, oh shit, this is a thing. Like this shit, it was everywhere. Like, you guys had merch, you had a store, you had the website, you already picked up on the podcast network. Like, I was like, well, goddamn, look at them.
One of my girlfriends just mentioned that the other day, like, bitch, you was just talking about the podcast. And y'all got 18 episodes? Like, it seemed like you just said it. I was like, yeah, you right.
But that's, you know what
happens when you're an Aries gang. Aries
I was about to say, me and So-So got similar personalities. Like, yeah. Once we decide we're going to do something, it's like, all right, we all in. This how it's going.
Yeah. Now, being a fan of podcasts, like, how is it different being on the other side of the microphone and, like, producing your own content as opposed to just kind of consuming it? How do you guys receive it as the difference between those two?
For me, I think it informed a lot because since I've been listening to podcasts for quite a bit, different platforms and interacting with a lot of the hosts and stuff online, it kind of informed, like, it's like I wanted to be the podcast that I would want to hear. Mm-hmm. So I just took my own personal experience, like, okay, I like when a host did this or this made sense or it was clear this. So I think it informed it a lot. And it gave us like a network of people to kind of consult if you got questions, but me and So-So think we know everything, so we probably don't ask too many questions.
We only ask pertinent questions.
Yeah, we ask pertinent questions.
Okay,
I was gonna say, I co-signed pretty much everything that you said. I've been listening to podcasts maybe for about the last 5 years. The first podcast that I started listening to was The Evening Jones, and that led me to down a long train of other podcasts to like and follow. And they're pretty much along the same kind of vein, even though they talk about different topics. The way that they do things, there's structure, there's order, there's humor, there's wit, but there's also, you know, important topics as well. And so I think that we kind of picked up with that. And yes, we are funny. And yes, we do talk about, you know, all kinds of randomness. But we also are here to be informative as well. So I think that helped us to be able to shape our podcast and not make a lot of the mistakes that a lot of other podcasters do at first. I mean, like when we started, it was like, okay, we already knew how we wanted it to sound, how we wanted it to look. We already had that experience based on listening for so many years. So I think it did nothing but help us. And, you know, we give honor to all the other podcasts that came before us, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, do you guys like, because I know for me, when I first started listening to podcasts, this goes way back to like, I want to say probably like 2008, 2009. First podcast I ever listened to was, what was that? Well, it was at the time it was called The Dark Hater Show. And then that transitioned to the Haterazzi Radio Show. And like, I would find myself listening to that and like talking back to the show. You know what I mean? Like, I got something I wish these motherfuckers would talk about. And it sort of kind of led to, you know, me kind of doing this as, you know, it kind of led to this. So, like, did any of that kind of lend into your inspiration for doing the show as well? Where you just like, you know what, I got something to say and people need to hear it.
I think for me, it definitely did. Like, so the concept of our show with the wine and looking and stuff like that. In my own personal circle of friends, I've always been like the go-to wine person, and people ask me questions and I talk about it all the time, and my secretary leave coupons on the desk. So it's like something that I would do in real life anyway. But then with the actual podcast, you know, we're two dope Black women. And not long before we started the show, I was looking for more women voices to listen to that's funny and informative and stuff like that. And then when we started brainstorming about the show, I'm like, why we gotta go, why the people I'm looking for, like, we are those people, so like, right. Let's just make the show, like, right. Then nobody out here is talking about wine and beer and stuff like that the way I would want to talk about it, so it was like, oh shit, like, I can do that.
exactly.
Yeah, so excuse me. Yeah, so like, I guess like another question that I would have for you guys is like, for like the network, you guys are part of a network now. Has being a part of the network helped with the growth of the show and some of the distribution of the show? Like, what have been some of the benefits of being picked up by a podcast network? Been, how has that been for the show?
You want to ask him?
I think that being a part of a podcast network, because we really thought long and hard before joining, you know, shout out to Classic. He shot his shot for sure. At us like fairly early on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took us a couple of weeks to, you know, think about it, because we were passionate about being able to own our own brand and do our own thing. And mm-hmm. we really didn't want to be restricted in any way. Mm-hmm. Being with the podcast network has been nothing but beneficial. It's allowed us to have a larger group of people to reach and have access to. It gives us a bigger pool of people that we could actually pull to bring on the show if we so choose to do so. Classic and Don have been nothing but absolutely supportive in everything that we do, supporting our vision, supporting the Bad and Boozy lifestyle. You know, they've been helping us push the merch. We've been helping them push the Patreon. So it's like an iron sharpens iron kind of thing. I learned a lot producing-wise as far as being a part of the podcasting network about things that I could change as a producer, because I had done a podcast before mm-hmm. and I had produced like 30-something episodes.
Yeah.
But in hearing his feedback and his notes and things like that, it's helped me to become a better producer as well, in addition to a better podcaster. So it's been nothing but positive.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. As you know, I've been meaning to hit up Classic, man, because like, as someone who is branching off into trying to produce a network of shows, that's a lot of work. Like, that's one thing about podcasting that I think a lot of people really don't understand, is that podcasting in and of itself is a lot of work. It's not just getting on the mic and just running your damn mouth. It's a lot that goes behind the production of a show, but hey, I got to promote this shit. I got to make sure it sound good. I got to make sure that everybody can, we're visible. I got to make sure we're accessible. It's a lot that goes into the whole podcasting thing, man. So I've been enjoying listening to you guys, man. I've been getting a bit of knowledge about wines, because I'm not really into the wines, but I want to get into it because my wife drinks wine, and I want
to
be like,
that's
enjoying.
A good reason to know.
I want
to
be able to like, yo, I want to pick some shit out where she ain't told me what to get. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like, hey, baby, look what I got. Look what I got for you. Yeah. So, yeah. Appreciate y'all. Good looking out.
What does your wife like to drink? That's what we need to know.
Well, like, my wife likes, she likes a good Merlot. And she keeps, what was that? It was some cupcake stuff that she used to drink all the time. I don't know the name of it anymore because she hasn't kept it. Or she drank it and she hadn't drank it anymore. So maybe she didn't like that shit. I don't know. But like, that was the last wine that I saw that she drunk all the time. And she just, she hasn't bought anymore in a while. So maybe she doesn't like that shit. I don't know. But I want to be
able. You have a stash in the house now?
Nah, see, I keep the stash of the beers now, right? So like, she
you
be
gotta hit, stock up.
See,
wine,
she be she be she, yeah, I got to, cause she be hitting my beer stash, yo. Like, I got to
stock the wine. most of the places, if you buy in bulk, like at least a case to give you a discount.
Okay,
like 10% or 15% or something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the places like Total Wines will even let you mix match your dozen. So I'm telling you, you gotta stock it, or you can get the Wink subscription. Shout out to the sponsors.
Indeed, man. Hey, push that merch, man. I ain't mad at you. I am not mad at you. So we gonna get into the rest of the show, man. I appreciate you guys coming on Real Talk. I've been talking with So-So for a minute, trying to get you guys on. So this is dope, man. Real talk. But we gonna get like right into the news as soon as I can find my goddamn news bumper.
Such a nigger.
I know, right? Here
don't
it
worry,
is.
We niggas.
Here it
we
is.
We too are niggas.
Rachel Dolezal. <Dolezal. laughs>
Should sound mad official.
I know, right? We had the story here that came out of Michigan, and I heard of a similar story that actually happened in Oregon as well. But there's this kid, Michigan teen, who was unable to buy a firearms. He was unable to buy a gun, and he sues Dick's Sporting Goods for age discrimination.
A teen?
Yeah, he was 18. So we're gonna read the story here. This comes out of myfoxdetroit.com. It says a Michigan teen is suing sporting goods store Dick's for refusing to sell him a gun after the retailer changed his policy in the aftermath of the deadly Parkland school shooting. The store announced last Wednesday that it was raising the age to the purchase a firearm. To 21 years old at its stores. A high school senior in Battle Creek, Michigan, 18-year-old Tristan Fulton, visited the Dick's Sporting Goods store in Oakland Mall in Troy to buy a rifle. When he showed his ID, he wasn't even allowed to look at a rifle. A Dick's worker told him that was the store's policy. It says Dick's corporate policy is not to sell anyone under 21 years of age, even though Michigan allows for anyone over 18 to purchase a firearm, said James Murkowski. Fulton's attorney said that the teen would have passed a federal background check, which legally qualifies him to buy a rifle in Michigan. Stores should not be able to violate people's rights. Are we going to stop allowing black people to buy firearms? Are we going to stop allowing Mexicans to buy firearms? No. Specifically, Murkowski is suing Dick's for violation of Michigan's Elliot Larson law, which says he prevents discrimination based on age. Retailers are not responsible for what happens to a product. What's wrong with it is that it is constitutionally protected right, and that the law allows it, and they are discriminated against a whole group of people based on age. That's his lawyer speaking. So, of course, we know a couple weeks ago there was the mass shooting that happened in Parkland, Florida, and a lot of states and a lot of companies have started to kind of really look at the laws which allow people to buy firearms and the types of firearms that they're allowed to get. What do you guys think about this kid? And there's another story in Oregon that was something similar where these kids are starting to pull up lawsuits against these stores for not allowing them to buy firearms, even though the laws in their state would allow them to do so.
All these melanin deficient kids.
Yeah, both of them were white. Both of them were white.
Because this is some white shit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, first world white people problems.
What in the hell? Like, and it's not even that big of a difference in age. Like, you suing the you trying to sue to drink alcohol at 18? Like, get out of here.
Okay, first of all, beloved, you still in high school. Why are you trying to purchase a firearm? Like, what is you about to do? First and foremost, and Dick's isn't your only option as far as securing that weapon that you want to get. So you just mad because they told you you couldn't buy one, but there's plenty of other places where you could get it. So right. Go to them other places. As far as Dick's and they house, they ain't serving y'all no more. So I need y'all to build a bridge and get over it. And I blame they mamas. That's what they would do if they was black. Blame their mamas. So
yeah,
blame your mama, Dorothy, exactly Mildred, whoever.
Yeah, I mean, like living here in Michigan, I know that there are, there are a lot of different avenues in which to purchase a firearm. You don't have to necessarily go to Dick's Sporting Goods. You can go to a gun and knife show that they hold monthly in just about every county in Michigan. You can go to
a
lot of.
To me that those things exist.
What, yeah. Gun and knife shows?
Just gonna stroll up in a gun and knife show. Hell,
I bought a gun at a gun and knife show. It was an interesting. Like, here's the thing: when I bought that gun at that gun and knife show, it was interesting because it was me and a buddy of mine, and we were one of the few black faces there. And
that's why I would be scared.
It was one of the few black faces there, but it was interesting because of how people were interacting with us. They didn't think that we had any knowledge about the firearms, and so when we would walk up to a gun. And I would say, well, let me take a look at that. He's like, well, what do you know about that? I said, I know it's a 9mm firearm. I know that it holds 15 rounds in the magazine. I know that it holds one in the chamber if I so need. Like, I'm able to break it down to him in a way in which he's like, oh, so you do know your shit. Oh, that also means I'm not going to be able to fuck you on this price when I try when you ask me how much I'm
Because niggas don't know nothing.
I'm paying for it. So, it's interesting that like he chose this route. Now, one of the arguments that a lot of people on the right wing will present with this is that it's similar to
the military.
Well, no, not so much the military, but it's similar to how, say, for instance, when what they say, like when gay couples wanted bakeries to bake them a cake for their weddings. And I've been seeing that that argument presented quite a bit. Now, I disagree with it, but I also want to know what you ladies think about that.
That's moving the goalposts. That's
out. I'm about to say, they moving the goal. The
you try
a gay person getting a damn cake. A cake ain't hurting. What?
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
A cake ain't hurt. A cake, like in the companies and stuff, who is discriminating and not like baking cakes for gay couples, were like purposely doing it like for a negative reason. Dick's not changing that policy to say, oh, fuck kids. Like, like purposely to say, fuck 18-year-olds. It's like, let us be more cautious about, I don't know, a fucking firearm. Maybe we should.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Dick's
and
got
teenagers' brains still developing and shit. Like you only 18, beloved. I don't trust you with a gun.
Yeah, and Dick's has the policy because the people who are in positions of power, such as your congressmen and your senators and your mayors and your governors, aren't changing the laws so to protect these citizens. So if you got a problem, boo-boo, call your president. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah, you know,
probably part of that 53%.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, the other interesting thing about that is when those bakeries were denying people the cakes, they were doing so based upon their religious beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was stemming from the fact that they thought that their religious beliefs trumped their what was it? I think it's EEOC violations or some shit like that,
mm-hmm.
where like you have to treat everyone equally as a business, despite what your religious convictions may be telling you. If your religious convictions is telling you to do something, then maybe you should be in another business if it's going to keep money from coming into your store. Now,
right.
The reasoning for the Dick's ban is, of course, yo, we just had a whole bunch of kids get gunned down with this weapon. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a reason behind what the ban being there. It's not because, and you know what, fuck it. It took how many mass shootings for this to happen, right? Like,
they didn't just come up with it on a whim. Like, fuck these kids or these 18-year-olds or whatever. We're going to change it. We hate 18-year-olds. Like, that's not what happened.
Yeah. So, I'm wondering exactly how many more lawsuits we can see going forward with this, because I can foresee like the NRA funding a lot of this. Like,
I was about to say, I think it's interesting. While I don't agree, I do think it's like interesting that they like, oh shit, age discrimination. I wouldn't even thought of that shit. Lawyers.
Yeah, the NRA.
Some clever motherfuckers.
Yeah, the NRA all behind that.
I don't think they're thinking of it by themselves. Who's thinking of that? Oh, I can't get a gun. Let me file a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
What 18-year-old is thinking about that, especially in high school? You think about graduation, prom, and grad night.
That's another example of the fact that they 18. You just being used as a pawn, beloved. Don't nobody really give a shit about your rights. They just want to push their gun rights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's going on. That's in the news. Another story that's been in the news lately. We find out that there was a teacher in Florida who had a podcast that was racist as fuck, and she was teaching the babies, man. So so we're going to read this story here, man. This comes out of abcnews.com. It says a Florida social studies teacher has been removed from the classroom after being accused in a recent Huffington Post article of having a white nationalist podcast and secretly bringing her beliefs into the classroom. Dayana Volatich. Has worked at the Crystal River Middle School in Citrus County since 2016, but online she used a pseudonym, Tiana Dolichoff. I get to talk about topics that people don't like to talk about. They don't want to be seen as a bigot, racist, whatever you want to call it. I honestly don't care, said Volatich. That's a snippet from the podcast, Unapologetic, previewing the topics listeners can expect to hear. The Huffington Post says that the podcast is actually hosted by the 25-year-old Volatich. In one of her podcasts, she talks about putting on a dog and pony show for administrators during her first year when it comes to teaching certain curriculum. I told the kids that, I said, guys, when they're in here, I'm going to be different than I usually am. I don't want you to be shocked. I want you to play along. And they're like, okay, she said in the podcast. During the same podcast, Voletich brings up in the science fair project from Sacramento that was taken down after she says people deemed it racist. She tells her guest she believes it scientifically proves certain races have higher IQs than others. When her guest asks if kids tell her parents what they learn in class, she says the principal approached her over an email from a parent once but dropped it. I had one in the beginning. It was this year who emailed the principal over my head and basically told her, I'm worried that your teacher is injecting political bias into her teaching. And the principal came to me and was like, I'm not worried. Should I be worried? And I was like, no. And she believed me and she backed off. So, yeah, racist teacher in Florida, man. What do you guys think about that?
I think she need to get her head busted to the white meat. That's what I think.
The other white meat, because yeah, she already white.
Yeah, man. I mean, and then she tried to act like, no, it was just satire. That's not me. That's not who I really am. I'm not racist.
Come no, like, she out of order. Because how you going to say it's satire or act like it's not you? I mean, it's still horrible that she's doing it on the podcast, but you out here in the classroom with these babies, and I know they probably some other little white kids, but still, like, they some white little kids that's I think the school was majority white. Mm-hmm. They gonna grow up, some of that shit gonna stick. They gonna believe some of that shit, and that ain't good. And then I feel sorry for any black kids, because it's like, well, damn, like, you just telling me, oh, I'm just inherently more dumb, and then you got the kids faking when the principal come, like, not. And how dumb could she be? Like, 25? No. Nah. Yeah. So we gotta be careful when we be saying the younger generation is gonna be the ones that save us, because some of them motherfuckers is dumb.
Well, you know
you
what?
Millennials today, boy, I tell you.
That's the thing too that I think a lot of folks tend to forget. Like, we keep acting as if we're like the young kid, like the kids are gonna be the ones to save us. The kids are gonna be the ones to move the generations and move the society forward. We're the motherfuckers that's teaching these kids, right? And yeah, they learn.
Right.
They'll learn from some of our examples, some good and some bad. But if we have people who are actively being a negative influence towards our kids, and they're put in a position of power to where a teacher is very influential to a child. Like, there's times where as a kid, I thought my teacher knew every fucking thing. And if my teacher told me something that was contrary to what my mama told me sometimes, I'm like, well, my teacher said, you know what I'm saying?
And like, you got to think the way the child brain, think about when you was in elementary school, and like, you think about it now, the teacher's only like 25, something like that. But when you was young, you didn't. Your teachers seemed old to you, right?
Yeah.
So your teachers was probably out like 25, 30s, whatever. But they seem way older. But now it's like I'm in my 30s, and I'm like, well, some of the people that will be, I don't have kids, but some of the people that's teaching my niece and nephew, they 25, 26, 27. I'm looking at them like, you know, they bet some of them, not saying that none of them ain't good, but some of them, like, they barely know. So you got to be aware.
Now, you know what? This is something that I think I forgot to ask you guys before. Like, you know, with you guys having a podcast now, like, do you sometimes get concerned with someone from maybe the workplace listening to your podcast and like, yo, like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? And then you find yourself in the office for fucking in human resources about something that you said on the show. Like, is that something that you guys have ever worried about?
I don't, and I think one of the probably easiest reasons that I don't is because we purposely didn't do a pop culture podcast. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the things that would make me think harder would be like my general opinion on like life shit or whatever. But if you're doing a podcast talking about wine and beer, it's easy to keep some of those other things out. But I'm fortunate with my workplace that it's like, I'm lucky I don't have that same kind of like stiff corporate environment that a lot of my friends have. So some of the people at my job like know about the podcast, and they just think it's a funny ass extension of my own personality. So like, so I'm not really worried just about anything I said on the podcast. I probably said it to somebody in real life, if not worse.
Right. Yeah, it's funny because both Dee and I, and we've said it before on our own podcast, we both work for different government organizations. Yeah. But like my organization, they really don't care. As long as you ain't killing nobody or talking reckless about, you know, the people that you work with or the people that you serve in the community, they really don't have anything to say. But funny enough, I did tell one coworker that I had a podcast, and he just happened to be listening to it this week, and he approached me. He was like, "You real bougie, aren't you?" I was like, "What?" I heard what you said, you were saying something. I was like, damn, she bougie. I was like, okay, so that's what I gotta worry about at work. I don't gotta worry about that. I gotta worry about me shit talking about somebody that I work with or a subordinate. That's pretty much it. But you know what, they already know they messing up, so it shouldn't be news if you find out on my podcast. All right, so, you know, interestingly enough, man, like I've had instances where like some guys at the job
have heard of the Span Report, and like I had this one part where like somebody came up to me and was like, "Yo, Span, you be out here calling white folks Q-tips?" And I said, "Wait, what?"
My beer almost went through the wrong, the wrong place.
I said, "What?" He was like, "Yeah, that, I heard on the podcast you be calling white folks Q-tips." Now, mind you, the field that I work in is a whole bunch of white folks. You know, I'm working in the utilities and stuff like that. I'm working with a whole lot of people I think voted for Trump. You know, that kind of shit. And
all the Q-tips.
Yeah, and I'm all like, and when my boy brought it to me, I was like, "I don't think so." Because I've done 197 episodes in 7 years. Like, I could have said it, but I don't know when. So I'm like, "Well, what episode was it?" He like, "Man, I don't know. I just know that the people is around here saying that you calling white folks Q-tips." And I'm like, "Ah, shit. I might have..."
Well, why have I never called a white person a Q-tip, though? I'm mad.
Hold on.
If you got a big head and you white, I mean, you look like a damn Q-tip. I mean, it is what it is.
I'm just saying, if I said it, I don't remember saying it, but it's possible that I said it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't think I did, but I could have. You know, and this is always something in the back of my mind, especially doing this show, that I kind of think about. Like, yo, somebody could take this the completely wrong way or take some shit out of context, and now it becomes a problem in the workplace. Not that I feel sorry for this motherfucking teacher and shit. Like, she's getting everything that she deserves right now. But it's just something that I always, like, I really think about now more than ever, concerned, especially with the, you know, the social interactions and people coming at your neck, especially for your livelihood, based on your, you know, your beliefs and whatnot. So that was something that I found very interesting. We're coming out of the news now, y'all. We got some crazy shit to talk about. So y'all know when we start talking about some crazy shit, we kind of got to go into to this right here.
What in blue blazes is going on out here? Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, we are in What in Blue Blazes, man.
That. Blue Blazes.
And,
what movie is that from? I forget what movie.
That was Talk to Me.
Yes.
Talk to Me. Don Cheadle and Taraji P. Henson.
And Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah, that was my shit, man. That whole movie. I love that movie. I really do. But this story here in Blue Blazes, this is our first story in Blue Blazes. Danny Starr and potential babysitter get into a heated exchange, but who was wrong? Now, for those of you who may not have been privy to this story, Danny Starr is a radio host, and I believe is it Baltimore or DC? Okay, DC. It says this here we get out of KYSDC.com. It says Thursday morning on The Fam was explosive, to say the least. Danny Starr felt blindsided by her co-host Quicksilver and DJ 5-9. The male duo, along with The Fam's producer, Morgan Shern, brought in potential babysitter that Danny refused to hire based off of her looks and past experiences with beautiful babysitters. After a heated back and forth conversation, Danny left the studio. She did film a response on social media, but was the damage done? After listening to the exchange in the video player above, let us know how you feel. So let me see if I can pull this video up and we'll all look at this shit together.
I just seen the tweets kind of summarizing it, but y'all know I'd be half-assed paying attention.
Okay, I'm gonna pull this up here just a second once we get the video straightened out, and I want you guys to check this out too if this shit would ever load.
Come on, Al Gore, get your internet together.
I know, right? Okay, so let me do this here. We're going to screen share. Just a second.
Okay,
Okay, computer, take your time. We ain't trying to do nothing right now.
No.
All right, here we go.
Why are you refreshing my memory? What?
Wait a second. This shit's 15 minutes.
Conversation.
We not listening to the whole 15 minutes, but we gonna get some of this shit.
I'm
Tuesday. I can't remember which day it was. Huh? Tuesday. Tuesday, we had a conversation on the air when we were talking about a babysitter.
Yeah.
For Danny Star. A young lady got in your DMs trying to apply to be your babysitter.
Yeah.
You remember this?
Yes, I remember the conversation. What are you doing?
I'm just making sure.
Yeah, of course I remember the conversation.
Just trying to refresh your memory.
Why are you refreshing my memory? What are
it's
y'all on today?
It's for a reason. We're not on anything. So we had a conversation on Tuesday about a young lady who slid in your DMs and she wanted to become your babysitter.
Yeah.
This is kind of what we talked about, and I'll replay what happened.
Oh, you gonna replay
Tuesday.
Something?
Yeah,
so me working every morning at 5 a.m. There's no way you can just find a daycare center that's
single
open.
Single working mom, like, I see you on
it
your
does
one
not,
two.
It doesn't work like that, you know. So I have been struggling. Meanwhile, I started a search and I started getting like emails and inquiries about like working with the girls. And I'm just gonna be honest.
What's that?
The little young thing slid in my DMs.
Okay.
And she is a baddie.
Go to
right?
Let me see it.
Hold
let
on.
See it.
Let me just find where she's at. She's bad. She's absolutely beautiful.
And she might be the babysitter.
She might
she's
be
been
amazing.
For
but
all
I'm,
this time,
I am
Danny.
Going to kindly respond to her and all of her beauty. Lord have mercy,
keep
you are gorgeous and smart and all of this, but I am not dangling you in front of
what?
My man.
Wait, that just, no,
no
Danny,
wow,
don't do
not,
that.
Look,
are you
not
afraid
in,
of,
are you,
hold on, watch your mouth, baby.
Are you judging a book by its cover?
No, I'm judging a book by its,
by its
okay, so that's kind of how it went.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then not just Danny, most of the ladies and fellas called in saying, Danny, you are absolutely right. Do not hire that pretty girl and bring in your household.
Why do I feel like
discrimination.
Something's not right now?
So they
like,
all,
why are we bringing this back
because
up?
Because it's International Women's Day.
Not just that, because everybody really went in on this young lady saying, no, don't hire her. You're
hold on, but that's but let's be clear. Nobody went in on her.
Yes, they did.
No, they
yes,
did.
Y'all
no,
did.
Yes, they did.
Hold on, be, right, let me be clear. Nobody went in on her. We don't know her. Okay, nobody went in on her. We went in on the situation.
And
we
the
went
situation
on,
was what?
The situation was, I don't want to have someone in my house like, who is that attractive? And I'm okay with that. And
okay.
I ride with that, and I'm okay with that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with what I choose for my household.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what, household. So what does that have to do with anything? And why are we bringing this back up?
I'm so glad you asked why.
Why
so
you got that damn smirk on your face?
I'm
this
glad
does,
you
something
asked
doesn't
that.
Feel right about
it's
this.
Right.
And I would like you
it's,
to tell me what the hell is
Women's
going
Day.
On.
I'll
we're
going
to serve all women mm-hmm. today.
So what happened
all.
Was, Danny,
okay.
that young lady was actually listening to the show that morning.
And very
and
disappointed.
How did she even know I was talking to her? So now she's just an egomaniac
she
who knows she's
DMs.
The only pretty girl who reached
because
out.
Because she's the one who reached out to your DMs and she actually hit us back directly. That's
okay.
how she found out it was her. Danny.
So you told her it was her?
No, we did not
we
tell her.
We had to tell her. She
knew
who she
knew
is.
Was her.
She, I never said her name. She ain't
Danny,
the only pretty girl that reached out.
So
y'all on something.
So what you know?
They set her up.
Mm-hmm.
They set her
like
up.
The, I don't like that kind of shit.
How much of this do y'all think is like just trying to be in competition with shows like, say, for instance, The Breakfast Club?
I was thinking exactly it's some shit Charlamagne would do, but I don't even know if Charlamagne that much of a sneak.
He would
to like
to
set
Anna.
The host up. But you know what? He probably would. He
nah,
probably would.
He
you know what
that.
It is?
He'd set the guest up, but he ain't gonna.
Yeah, he. Would, that's what I'm saying. He would set the guest up. He wouldn't set Angela. He wouldn't set Angela up like that. Like, no, I don't appreciate him doing that. I don't appreciate a man as a woman. I don't appreciate a man doing that at all. No, because niggas love to say how women always be beefing, whatever, whatever, whatever. But then you trying to like purposely gaslight these two women,
right?
Like, mm-mm.
It's like, oh, you know, girls, you know, women. No, excuse me, females is
females.
But then at the same time. All you do is talk about other females. So
and he
like,
on
okay.
some bullshit because he tried to set it up like, oh, I'm, you know, like he was on her side, like giving her a chance to like, oh, I'm letting the women speak for themselves or whatever, whatever. No, that girl didn't do nothing. Even if whether you agree with her not wanting the pretty babysitter or not, like she ain't do nothing wrong. So don't mm-hmm. be trying to set her up. And you work with this person every day. In this kind of bullshit you do? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get it. Fuck them niggas.
Yeah, they definitely set her up. Now, I think another part that was kind of interesting because you know, there were folks who were actually, you know, trying to set this up as if like this whole thing, as if, you know, they were trying to juxtapose this argument as if this entire thing was something set up with her knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, she knew that this was coming up. She knew that this was going to be a stunt that was being pulled on the show. Judging from her reaction to this live on the air, how do you guys take that? Do you think this was something that she knew going into the show, that this was something that they were going to do?
Nope, because her intuition kicked in immediately. Her she was like, wait a minute, like, this don't feel right. What's up
to you? Why are you asking me questions like this? Yeah. Like, this don't feel right. Nah, I don't, like, the tone, like, it's slight, but even the tone in her voice drops a little bit. It changed, or that, like, confused, like, I'm a radio show host. I'm used to handling myself on air, so I'm going to keep it together, but what the fuck is y'all doing? Like, no. Mm-hmm. She ain't no.
Okay.
She ain't know, and that was totally unfair to be blindsided like that.
Okay.
For it, because my thing is too, even if they came up with that idea for a show topic or whatever, why not consult her? Maybe it could have been something to handle on the show or blah 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 blah. But they knew what the fuck they was doing.
Yeah, and like to keep mentioning that it was International Women's Day. Like,
this is what
you do. To a woman who you supposedly are friends with, who you work with, this is what you do? Nah.
Yeah, we're going to listen to just a little bit more of this before we start wrapping this up and like kind of dissecting just a little bit more, but I'm going to play a little bit more of this video.
On right now is trying to throw a monkey wrench in the situation.
No, I'm listening.
So here's the fact. The fact was that not just Danny, pretty much all the DMV, women and men, so this is not just a women thing. Women and men said, Danny, don't hire a pretty girl because you set
She's
yourself
pretty.
Up. Don't lie her into your home and not saying that your man, you're not going to trust him or whatever the case may be.
Okay, Quicksilver.
If you let this woman in your house, you're setting yourself up. And you even have a quote from your granny who said, don't bring...
No, the quote was this. Let me get it right before you over there loud and wrong.
Go ahead and say.
Somebody tweeted to me and they said that I agree with you. My grandma told me at a really young age, don't ever give your man a chance to either choose from being your man or choose being a man.
And if you put
don't
a pretty girl in your household, you're making him choose because now he might be choosing to be a man and not your man, right?
Right.
That's what the tweet was.
Guess what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to allow all of the beautiful ladies in my house. I'm not going to discriminate like
that. Already there anyway.
Well, guess what? That young lady was so upset that she might not get hired because...
Well, she's not getting hired.
Well, oh my God.
She's not.
Well, guess what? We actually have that young lady here right now.
Here.
She actually wants to talk to Danny Starr. And not just Danny.
Yes.
Hold on. Not just Danny. She wants to voice her concern to all the DMV who called and said,
are you serious
right now?
That's why we got these curtain closed. You didn't know what was going on.
So basically what you're saying is, as my co-host, as my people, you're ambushing me is what you're saying.
No, that's not an ambush.
That's completely an ambush.
You're fully prepared.
I'm fully prepared?
Yes.
No, this is an ambush. This is an ambush.
You're not ambushing
Yes,
me,
it is.
No, it's
unless a person knows ahead of time what's happening, which we always do, it's called show prep. We sit down, we send each other. How come nobody sent
you
this in a thing last
today.
Night? No, I was here. I was here.
You were here.
I was here. I was here.
We got it in just before you got here.
I was here. And y'all, why are you laughing over there, producer Sherm? Because I know you had something to do with this. Okay, y'all get ready.
You look
y'all
tight
get
here.
Ready.
You big man.
Bring her in. I am big man. I ain't got nothing to do with her. I'm not going to talk about y'all.
All right, that's enough of that shit.
Yeah, that was difficult to listen to. Like,
yeah, that like, was...
I be hating niggas. And this is another example for reason why.
And it was trash. Like another 10 minutes
that was
of that shit.
Trash.
You know what, like... I guess the thing that like really pisses me off about the entire thing is that they tried to act like they were clueless as to why she was upset.
Yeah, that's what trips me out about men when they always gaslight women. It's like, oh, it's like that thing of like, oh, I didn't know. Yes, you knew exactly what the fuck you were doing. Like I didn't. This is not an ambush. That's the textbook definition of a fucking ambush.
Right.
The fuck. Yeah. Just as bad as the I'm not racist. Like, yeah, yes, the fuck you are. What you did was what you did.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a result of this, Kathy Hughes, who is the founder, one of the I think she's the chairperson of Radio One.
Radio One, right?
Yeah. She suspended both Quicksilver and DJ 5-9 from that show.
Suspend that producer too.
That producer. No, everybody who hit the girl and was about to record and get her mic ready, they knew.
I agree. Now I do know that she suspended both of the male hosts of that show, and for the rest of the day, all of the shows were hosted by women on that station for the rest of the day.
Yes. Shout out to Deja Perez. She's the only that has a show on that network too. So
okay. There you go. So like, do you guys think that the punishment for Quicksilver and DJ 5-9 was sufficient to where they, like, I don't know exactly how long the suspension is going to be for, but and I also know that the who's that, Danny Starr, has, you know, kind of like forgave these dudes, or at least get, you know, accepted apologies for what they did to her. Do you think that the punishment for what happened was sufficient with the suspension of those guys and, you know, giving women the platform for the entire day?
I appreciate the giving the women a platform for the entire day. I don't, regardless of whether they like fired completely, is Danny Starr, is she going to work, like continue, if they come back, do they, she got to work with them? Because I don't see how I could come back to work and sit here and look at these niggas' faces. Mm-hmm. Like, nah.
I don't
I don't trust you. And then, like, this is a hostile work environment. So even if they only get I don't know what the definition, that whether they should, like, be fired or whatever, maybe just an indefinite suspension or restructuring the show or something like that. So, I mean, I guess I'm glad it was something, but I'm more concerned with her and how it just looks in general. If I'm Kathy Hughes, like, this looks horrible.
Yeah.
I'm a woman and I'm lead and I got this kind of bullshit from men on my, going down on my show. It looks bad. So I would probably try to encourage them to resign.
Man, I'm like, if I was Kathy Hughes, right, there is no room in my organization for behavior like that. That is bullying. That is an ambush. That is unprofessional.
That's disgusting.
That's not how you operate. You don't set up your coworkers like that. You don't spring things on them. You, like they said, they have production meetings and you bring up ideas and you say yes or no. Had that idea been brought up in a production meeting, I assure you, it would have been like, mm-mm.
Exactly. And then I understand, since they're radio show hosts, they bring a certain amount of, and they kind of public figures, they bring a certain amount of their personal life in. So, mm-hmm. So what, she talked about it on the show. Like, why would you just think you could just, she talked about it. It's right. Not like, you don't just spin this whole thing and bring this whole other entity to, like, further complicate something, not only in the public's perspective with another woman, but her own damn personal life. Like,
right. And then they have the nerve to call her insecure. Like, because yeah. She doesn't want another woman in her house who is attractive. And I don't have a problem with that at all. I consider myself, and I have been told that I'm a pretty attractive young lady, right? I'm not about to bring no baddie in my house to do any type of service.
Anyway. Nobody. Her words were, she's a baddie. If I'm looking for a maid, I'm going to notice if she a baddie. Like, I don't even know. Like,
right. And like I said earlier, like the lady who watches my kids when they're not at after school program, she's a lovely woman. Mm-hmm. She is very voluptuous. She's very top heavy. She's been watching my kids literally since my daughter was 2 months old. And my daughter is 12 now.
Mm-hmm.
We take them to the daycare. She don't come to my house and spend days at a time and cook and clean and help with homework. No, no, no. That's a totally different type of setup. So for you to allow someone in your personal space, you need to be able to be comfortable with who they are. And the thing that bothered me the most is people saying, oh, she shouldn't discriminate because the woman is pretty. Let's even take the pretty out of the equation. You trying to get a job in my Instagram DMs?
Right.
Like, you ain't on care.com. You haven't sent me a resume with references.
Right.
I don't know what your abilities are other than you saying that you watch your nieces and nephews. Okay, do you know CPR? Do you know what to do if children have allergies? How do you entertain children? Do you just leave them in front of the television or do you have activities? These are things that I need to know. And I'm not gonna know them based on you diving in my DMs, and especially if you're supposed to be some kind of model and singer. If you're so good at modeling and singing, why are you in my DMs trying to get a job as my nanny?
That was actually going to be my next point, that she really didn't present any credentials as to why she would be a credible nanny for this woman's kids. Like, outside of the fact that, you know, she you know, every that Danny kind of put it out like, look, I'm not trying to hire a very attractive woman to be the nanny to my children. This woman's going to be in a home with my man and these kids probably more than I may be because I'm working. And so, like, for her to, like, just kind of slide into DMs, no resume, like, hey, I watch your kids. I used to watch my cousins and my little baby sister and them all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Like, that doesn't count, bro. Like, you don't get any points for that. Everybody did that shit, man. It don't mean you was the right thing to do.
Right. And here's the thing that they're forgetting in the conversation. The husband even said, nah, we don't need her in the house. If he said it, we don't need her, we don't need her, boo. I don't have to explain to you what my reasonings are. Yes, she is attractive. That is one of the reasons why she can't work up in my house. I mean, I don't care. She's just, no, is the answer. I don't need that drama. Like, I have a friend who I love dearly who had to stay with me for a little bit of time because she was in the midst of a transition, right? This was at the time where I was married and I had my kids here. And when she was here, she would watch my kids. You know, she would do dishes. She would do stuff around the house. However, when I left, just like Monique said in that skit, when I left, she had to leave too. Because you ain't about to be up in here with my kids and my man like that. We just not doing that. I love you. I've known you longer than I've known my man. However, I know how some women can be. I'm not saying that this is what she was because that's not who she was. But at the same time, when you around people, you get comfortable and you behave in a certain way. If I'm not there, I don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And I need to know what you're doing. So, no. Them niggas was wrong.
And I don't know why guys be acting like that, because they will be side-eyed. They wouldn't just lead that woman just around a group of niggas. Like, they be trying to get her out the place. They're like, nah, because you know your homie's trifling, too.
Hey, like,
even
if they not trifling or whatever. Like, I don't know why guys act like they don't have the same damn ass insecurities.
Hey.
Like, damn plumber come over here looking all buff and shit. You ain't
nigga, and Baku can't come over here and cut my grass. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, nigga, you ain't... Why, hey, bro, where your shirt at, nigga? Like, you ain't got to cut the grass with no shirt, my nigga. Like, put that shit back on, bro. The fuck is you doing? So it's not happening. But, yeah, man, like, that whole situation, I just think that is weird that people will try... It's weird that folks are trying to put discrimination on everything where it doesn't even necessarily apply. Like, yo, you got to have certain fucking credentials. You got to have certain abilities. You got to be able to actually perform this job. And based on you being pretty, you're not going to get this job. I think is it. Here's the thing. There's a pretty privilege, and people with pretty privilege are used to getting the shit that they want, right? So this woman wasn't even named when she first started talking about this shit, right? She didn't say any names. She showed the picture to the guys in the studio, right? She didn't name this woman. She didn't put this woman's, you know, pictures out there. None of that. Suddenly this one woman comes up and is like, yo, she didn't give me this job because I'm pretty. Never once did she know that it could have been other women who was also applying the exact same way that she did. But this woman decided, let me go to the radio station and let me confront this woman for not giving me a job based on the fact that I'm pretty. And a lot of this stems from, yo, she might just be trying to get her fucking name out there because of the fact, like, yo,
this is my thing.
Like, I need these followers. You know what I'm saying? That's what it came across to me. Like after some thought, like, yo, she trying to play this to where, like, I can get some name recognition off of this shit.
Yeah. And to that pretty privilege that you were saying, had Danny not specified, like, emphasized that how she was pretty, they wouldn't have cared if she would have been like, no, I was a woman. Like, let's say she was just, like, attractive, but just like, oh, she's attractive. If she would have played it down, they probably wouldn't even have been that interested. No. Or whatever.
A baddie. You know what that means. She was well.
That's what I'm saying. So if Danny hadn't played that up, they wouldn't even been that interested, because they some niggas. You know what I'm saying? You say something about some ass and titties or whatever, they want to see or whatever. And then how they ambushed Danny, that's just, I was telling my brothers just yesterday, like, this country fucking hates women. And just every day they just give me another example, another reason. Like, because why would you do that? Like, I don't
like I say, not a day goes by that niggas don't dig.
Niggas dig every day.
What they do best, man. Niggas
gonna
dig.
It be, man. We got another story we gonna get into, though, y'all.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is, of course, this is Blue Blazes, which means it's gonna be some crazy shit, right? So
I'm
got...
I
like this segment.
Hold on now. Y'all, you might not like it after this shit, man. I'm just saying. Uh-oh. You might not like it. So, hold on. Let me make sure I can pull this up. I want y'all to see this. So let me screen share this shit again. So I want y'all to be able to, like, take this in. And I want y'all to tell me what y'all think about this shit after we get done. Check this out.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. I'm scared. I'm
focus on this for the rest of my life.
Do you think I do?
Well, why don't you just let it go away?
When something gets destroyed, you have to rebuild it. You can't just pretend that it didn't happen and everything gets fixed.
Why is the documentary have to happen then, Mom?
It's
why
couldn't
you just
done
the book?
It's called rebuilding.
This is going to affect more than just your life.
Some people read, and so, yeah, what happened affected more than just my life. If somebody has hope, don't take that away from them, because maybe that's all they have.
Trust me, it is going to bite me in the ass. This book coming out and this documentary might just backfire like everything else has backfired.
Do you resent her choices?
I resent some of her choices, and I resent some of the words she's spoken in interviews.
So talk to me. What's going on?
Your film, we're taking this risk. I'm putting my kids out there. I'm putting Esther out there. It's hard. And I'm trying to be the gatekeeper and keep, and then you're just like handing it over to somebody who can just like be a wrecking ball.
She can identify whatever she wants to be because it's her business. But when it's put in the limelight, I don't think you should be pissing people off more than they already are, unless you want to get bit in the ass from it. And she did not choose her words carefully. And it affected me, it affected my brother. The more that I hear about it, the more that I talk to people about it, the more it just drains me.
So what am I forgetting, Franklin? What has not been said? What don't people know about this story?
Nothing that I want people to know.
All right. Rachel Dolezal's son sound like he over all this shit, yo.
First of all, he is not. He is tired.
He's like, Mama, why? Man, I just want to be a regular kid. I don't want to go through this stuff. I already had to go through enough stuff when I found out that you were not a black woman. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay. Mom, why are you still at this? Why can't you, like he said, why can't you just let this die? Like, we can't move on because you are so obsessed with this. I can't live a normal life as a young human being without you and your goals and your ambitions, whatever they are. I don't even know what she wants.
What is her purpose? Why are you here, beloved? Like, I don't understand. I really will, like, even some crazy shit, I'd be wanting to understand why. Like, I don't get it.
I was saying the other day, she is worse than Octomom.
Octomom kind of went away and people started searching her out. You know what I mean? Like,
What I'm saying. When Rachel dipped off for a little second, we wasn't looking for her. I think she got mad because niggas wasn't looking and she came back.
She's like, how else can I get attention? Okay, I'm going to make a book.
Black woman, won't you just... You could just go and live with your braids and leave us alone. Leave the world.
Still got the damn braids, yo.
Them struggle braids.
This bitch still got box braids and the fat bun. I'm over
that
it.
That fat bun was terrible at that. It looks like a cinnamon roll.
Disrespecting our bun.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Rachel. Don't do that.
Yeah, you know.
And poor kids. Like, and all right, you. adults, that's fine. I mean, I don't want you being stupid, but you, what you got to bring the kids into this, man? Like, you is
direct. Just want to be normal.
He is out here like he's over it. He got way more sense than she has, obviously. Like, he's thinking logically. He's over it. Like, leave. Stop it.
Her son out here like,
that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Like, he is like, yo, for one, he a black kid. He knows he's black.
Right.
He also accepts the fact that she's a white woman. He's cool with her just being a white woman. Like, all right,
he said,
cool.
Identify how you want to identify.
Right, that's your business. But everybody know your ass is white. You know your ass is white. Your mom, how's you black and grandma and granddaddy white in the motherfucker? Like, just be who you are. Like, you raised us to this point or whatever. And we know you white. Like, it came out. The story's over. The lie is over. You can just go back to being who you were before you start lying to every motherfucking body. And eke out some sort of existence beyond this whole need to identify as a black person, because that you are not. You know what I'm saying? But, like, the kid is sounding like, yo, I'm just sick of all this shit, man. As soon as I turn 18, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Like, this is some bullshit.
And
like,
more proof that she a damn white woman. You hear how she was like, and I'm putting my kid, my all this on the line. Well, bitch, exactly. You're doing it. Like, it's you. And like, so they do stuff and then act like they stressed out because of the attention that's a direct result of what you did. Right. Like, we didn't.
Like, nobody was asking for this documentary, and yet here you are with this fucking documentary, and we're supposed to feel sorry for you. Just like, I forget that sister's name when she did that write up with Rachel Dolezal and pretty much broke down all of this shit.
Oh.
And I can't think of this sister's name.
I think I heard it on.
But it was a really good profile. Yeah, it was a really good profile of the entire situation and how black women, or basically how black women were looking at them.
A mockery of being a black woman, because if you was really one, you wouldn't want to be one. Everybody want to be a nigga, so it's time to actually be a nigga. Like, get out my face.
And there's a privilege in the fact that, like, yo, I can identify as black, although as soon as this shit gets bad, I can revert right back into my whiteness. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, you get a lot of that with Rachel Dolezal. Like, even now, she's reverting back to her whiteness in the sense that she thinks that everybody fucking cares, and we don't. And it's like, yo, just go away.
Right.
White people always think somebody cares.
Just go away. Like, you can, like, at a certain point, I think, you know what, though? I think at a certain point, her constant need for the visibility is going to keep her from being able to reinsert herself into white society to a certain degree, because they're gonna like aren't you the white girl who keeps trying to be the black girl, and you really don't want to be a part of this. You're not trying to be one of us, and damn it, we don't want you no more. You can have them.
The only thing that I'm interested in this is the whole psychology behind wanting to be a quote-unquote black woman and when this occurred, because for all intents and purposes, she was raised as a white woman. Mm-hmm. She didn't really associate with black people. She moved to Seattle, Washington, wherever she lived in Washington, which is like one of the whitest states for all. So it's like, when did this awakening take place, and how is it that you feel that you could just automatically say that you were a black person and start, quote unquote, acting like a black person? You adopt black hairstyle and you adopt black mannerisms. I mean, she learned how to braid hair, so she's doing hair. She's doing
hair.
How is it that you have developed this persona? I don't care about getting to see the lifestyle of her kids and all that, because really that is harmful. She's hurting children. They should be taken away for real.
Exactly.
Because she's doing them a disservice.
Let that have been a black mama. Them kids would have been gone.
So the
kids would have been gone.
The only thing that I want to understand is the psychology behind it. Get into her head, like making a monster. How does something like this happen?
Oh, I was thinking,
how
about
do we understand this? Like, I listened to a podcast talk about how this chick became
a black woman, and I don't want to watch
no documentary following her for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I don't give a shit, but I will be interested in the psychology.
What is it called? Her struggle with
Rachel. But that's white privilege in and of itself. I'm just gonna wake up and I'm gonna say I'm black.
Man, she can only do that because she's white. Because me as a black woman cannot wake up and say that I identify as a white woman, because my pigment will tell you that I am not. I can't get away with that.
We should try them.
I'm so sick of that broad. Like,
for real. Hey, just walk up to the job with your ancestry DNA results, and she'd be like, "Look, motherfucker, I'm like 47% Irish. Check it out.
It's bad enough that when people tell you, especially a black woman, like, oh, you're black, but you're not like black.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to explain that, you know, you date black people, and they're like, oh, really? Because I don't see you. You don't seem like the type.
You don't seem like that kind. What the fuck you mean?
Right.
It's bad enough that we have to deal with that. Now we got this white hoe.
Yes, I call
her
a hoe.
I don't care. You should be lucky I didn't call her no bitch. But you got this white hoe out here trying to run around acting like a black woman. Just because she want to get a tan and get her hair braided. No, you didn't have to deal and you didn't have to struggle.
Looking like she got off the cruise ship in Jamaica and got one of them locals to braid her hair.
The only reason why she was able to get away with it is where she was, because she couldn't get away with that in Detroit,
oh, Chicago, hell no.
She might have been on Baltimore,
Tallahassee, Los Angeles, Dallas, Houston, Memphis.
Even a hood white girl, we'd be like, oh, she just happened to be a white girl.
But you know what? You know what, though?
She wasn't even raised in the hood, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she wasn't. But I'm saying, even in Baltimore, even the most ratchet white girl, we know, like, oh, no.
We know they're white girl.
But you know what, though? At first glance, I would probably say, nah, she wouldn't be able to pull that shit in any other place. But then I also have to think back to, like, it's hoteps everywhere. And a lot of hoteps stood up and defended her ability to, to represent herself as a black woman. Like, it was a whole. I remember when this story first broke, when they first put her out there. I remember even fellow podcasters getting on these microphones and saying, like, yo, what's the big deal? Like, she putting in more work.
She doing a lot for the community.
Yeah, she doing more work than most of you motherfuckers is out here doing, man.
What did
like,
she do?
And they couldn't do that. They couldn't name any of the things. They just heard that she was the head of the president of the NAACP in Spokane, Washington. Okay, in Spokane, Washington, it ain't a whole lot of niggas about there. So, like, yeah, she could confuse a whole lot of people there.
Even with having that job, that means you took the job from some black person that could have had the job.
Right.
Right.
And but with the hotep populations in certain segments of the country, I think that, like, she would have found a space within them.
She might have found a little pocket.
She'd have found a space within them to where, like, she'd have been all right had she got to those spaces before she was exposed as who she was. But,
if they could have isolated her ass.
I'm calling bullshit because somebody would have checked underneath her nail beds for that darkness right here. If you ain't dark right here, you ain't black. If your nipples ain't dark, that real quick.
Yeah, man. But that's what it blew blazes, man.
Well, a documentary, we don't need this, beloved. We don't need it.
Now, the question,
y'all gonna watch it?
That was the next question.
The person to follow them around for 2 whole years. You followed this woman for 2 whole years, and not only is it coming on Netflix, it is premiering at Tribeca Film Festival.
The epitome of white privilege. My black mama could not do this. A black mother do one small thing and it's like, oh, it's, you find every reason to try to strip her kid away. This girl goes on all the talk shows and everything, film festivals. Like, I don't get it.
That's the thing. The question that I had next was, how many of you guys were actually going to, like, actually watch this? Like, is this going to be a thing? Are we watching this as a family or are we rejecting this as a family?
I don't know.
And if people are going to watch this out of sheer curiosity. I think there's going to be some curiosity watches. I think there's going to be some curiosity watches.
I think more people than we think are going to watch it out of curiosity and hate watching and stuff.
No,
luckily,
man.
Well, I won't say luckily, but niggas, anybody who know me know I don't be watching shit no way. So I probably was going to miss it anyway, but I'm damn sure not watching this.
Yeah.
And we got to stop hate watching. We got to stop hate watching, for real. We complain about stuff and then we watch it so that we could complain about it. No.
So we can make jokes. No, don't watch this. First of all, we didn't have enough shenanigans with her that even on some, you know how we watch shit sometimes just to be laughing and making jokes.
Yeah.
Like, ain't shit funny about this. Like, it's nothing funny about it.
This is why Monique
is detrimental.
Special because of Rachel. They done gave the money to Rachel.
They gave the money to Rachel.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting to see how much they paid Rachel Dolezal to do this. You know, because I think a lot of this too is her being desperate for money also. Like, now she feel like, I gotta put my kids out here now. Like, your kids are like, man, what the fuck? Yo, like,
where her man at though? Where
and I'm sure some of the same niggas who ain't want, who was going against Monique probably gonna watch this shit. And I'm not, I ain't trying to say nothing, but I'm pretty sure some of them niggas, you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure it's a little bit of a correlation right there. Cause niggas, the country hates black women. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They but, like, you know, black creatures, but they don't like
They like to boost up a white queen.
The white Nubian queen. Get
a white Nubian. I ain't even no such thing as white chocolate with a dumbass.
I know, right? All right, man. That is one in Blue Blazes. But we are actually like kind of getting ready to wind down. But before we do this every week. We got our ass hat of the week, yo.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat of the week this week is none other than Stacey Dash.
Oh, God. Another transracial.
Oh, man.
Another transracial dumbass.
Stacey Dash out here wildly, yo. So she did this interview on MSNBC this week after she filed papers to run for Congress out of California. Let me see.
The blackest part of California.
Now, let me pull this video up because
she's an actress, a famous.
Hey, man, shut up. I'm trying to pull you up on screen.
She's still be acting?
Okay. I don't think she does that anymore. I don't think that phone call is coming much for her to do any damn.
Her husband cheated on her with the nanny. Since we talking about that.
Oh, man. They,
people act like niggas ain't got a history of husbands cheating with nannies.
It happens. It damn sure happens.
There has been a precedent, yeah.
Well, we're gonna check this out. Stacey Dash on MSNBC after officially signing up to run for Congress out of California. Check this out.
Conservative commentator and now a congressional candidate running for California's 44th district, which includes Long Beach, Watts, Compton, and San Pedro. Stacey Dash has starred in major movies, made a much-discussed Oscar cameo, and over 30 million people have watched her online as the star of Kanye West's classic video, It All Falls Down. She's also widely known for her performance in the 1995 movie Clueless, where she played Cher's best friend, Dion.
Let's do a makeover.
No.
No. Oh, come on, let us. Cher's main thrill in life is a makeover, okay? It gives her a sense of control in a world full of chaos.
Everyone could use some of that. And moving from theater to politics, Dash says she voted for Obama in 2008, switched to Romney in 2012. She now backs Trump and has made many appearances as a conservative commentator on Fox News, which will make for an interesting congressional contest. She's running in a district that went 83% for Hillary. Here is a new pic she posted of her filing papers to run this afternoon. The primary is up against the mayor of Compton and an incumbent Democratic congressperson. Ms. Dash joins the beat for her first TV interview since announcing. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the district you're running in, which is, as I mentioned, strongly Democratic. What is your appeal, your pitch to those 61% of voters who are Democrats?
Well, my appeal to them is that the Democratic Party is not the only party that can represent them, and that I am going to be a catalyst for change. You know, I'm going to make sure that everyone in my district is given the opportunity to achieve their God-given right. The American dream.
You mentioned the American dream, and you're familiar with this big debate over dreamers. I want to play for you what Attorney General Jeff Sessions is saying about a fight in your state in California about sanctuary cities. Take a listen.
California, we have a problem. How dare you? How dare you needlessly endanger the lives of our law enforcement officers to promote a radical open borders agenda?
Where do you come down on that issue, the Trump administration versus California providing more protection to undocumented workers?
Well, I think that, you know, we have to respect law enforcement. We have to respect laws.
Go on.
Hold up. That was all she had to say.
That's all she had. I was like, wait a minute.
Dumbass.
That was all she had to say. Like, my man had to, like, yo. Go on. Like, what the fuck, man? That's it? That's all she had.
She sounds just like her president.
Sounds just like her president.
There are laws, and we need to respect
What? Oh no! First of all, they said her acting credentials. How long ago was her credentials?
Clueless came out. I think I was still in high school. I was still in high school when Clueless came out. That was like in 2004.
His second video.
That was like 04, 05. Nigga, that was 13 years ago.
Whole ass
decade plus. Man, hold on. That was from the first fucking Kanye album. But it's some more shit, man. Hold on. We got some more.
Well, that's it. One argument, I guess, would be that the people, a lot of California legislators and leaders have said they shouldn't be the focus of law enforcement.
Do we know that they are the focus of law enforcement?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you also about gun control, which is a big issue, as you know, all over the country and especially in California. There was a state rule here that was passed that did several things, including limiting ammunition sales and making sure that there are background checks for ammunition. And that passed with 63% approval in your state. Do you support those kind of gun control measures?
I support the Bill of Rights. That's what I support. You know, but I also do not like the tragedies that are occurring in our country. And I think it goes deeper than gun laws. I think it goes to moral integrity. And I think that runs from family. You know, family is the key. And parenting and being aware of mental illnesses and taking care of those issues.
Because you've been a big supporter of a lot of conservative policies in Donald Trump, I'm curious about health care, which is another big issue, as you know, in almost any congressional race, but especially in California. Should Obamacare be fully repealed?
Yes.
And what happens, in your view, then, to the people who lose health insurance?
Well, they'll get, I mean, there's, of course, there'll be another solution, but Obamacare is not working.
What?
We know that.
Do we?
What is the other solution?
Well, that's where I'm going to go and listen and pay attention and have a dialogue to come up with a solution.
But you won't, and I have to do this with all candidates, I have to ask, so you won't tell us yet, though, what the solution is?
No.
Because right. She doesn't have one.
You then, Ms. Dash, about something very controversial, which is this president's discussion about white supremacists, about the rallies in Charlottesville. As you know, Gary Cohn is out this week over the tariff issue, the economic advisor who said he almost left earlier over Charlottesville, and when Donald Trump said this.
I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either.
Was that wrong?
No, I think he's absolutely right. There were two extreme sides.
Ah,
and here's what it boils down to. Our right. They had a right to assemble. Both sides had a right, but they were both extremes. And here's where I said in the beginning, we have to listen to each other. If we do not listen, there will be no solutions.
So
it's just a bunch of banter and noise.
If the white supremacists were the hate on one side, what was the hate that would be equivalent to that on the other side? That's what has enraged so many people about those comments the president made and stands by, is there was not another hate group there. It was the white supremacists in Charlottesville that had organized those rallies. What other hate do you see there?
Well, no, I'm not saying that there was hate on the other side, or that I'm justifying the hate on the other side. What I'm saying, what their constitutional right was, they were exercising that. There should be no hate at all. Hate is not the answer.
And I agree. I agree with you on their First Amendment rights, and that is law. That is in
our
Constitution.
And that is what the president said. He wasn't siding with the neo-Nazis.
Well, he said, I just played it for you. He did say there's blame on both sides. Why is it hard to say that that was wrong in the context of a white supremacist rally?
Well, because what happened? It became violent, didn't it? So violence on either side is no good.
When he says they're good people on both sides, good people at the white supremacist rally, do you co-sign that?
I'm not here to judge. The only one who can judge is God.
All right, and with that, I'm done. Fuck that.
What? What is she saying?
It must be...
Okay, as the resident Californian
please.
Born and raised. The districts that she is covering is Compton, which is Black and Hispanic. Watts, which is Black and Hispanic. San Pedro, which is Hispanic and Caucasian. And North Long Beach. Right. Which is black. Not the beach part where the white folks live, not near Signal Hill, the black part.
Mm-hmm.
So she's supposed to be the candidate for the black and Hispanic community. Bitch, how? First of all, Stacey, you don't even live with black people. You don't even acknowledge black people. You barely have black people in your family. We ain't even gonna count Dame Dash because he on some other shit, okay? Second of all, you going up against Asia Brown, the youngest mayor of the city of Compton, who has done a lot for the community. You're also going up against the incumbent, who is a Democrat, that area, that district, the 44th district, has been Democratic for over 20 years, sis. And here you come as a Republican. I guarantee you, you live nowhere near the vicinity that you want to represent in Congress. And you coming in here, who knows who has put you up to this, Koch brothers, whoever it is, to try, and the Russians is who I'm just
it's the Russians.
So it's blame it on the Russians, just like in all the other bad movies, blame it on the Russians. So you here, you fixed your pissy tail self to get on national television. You don't have no talking points, which tells me you have no money behind you. Because all you saying, everything that you saying sounds foolish. I've heard better answers on the Miss America pageant, to be
exactly. She ain't even have a scripted answer.
You ain't have a scripted answer. Everything is just reiterating what the person said, just saying it again. Well, how do you feel about gun control? Well, I feel that gun control is necessary. Okay, well, how do you feel about this? Well, you know, but the Bill of Rights, sis.
This bitch said the Bill of Rights. And that's only just the Bill of Rights. No addendums, no
just
amendments.
The bill.
Nothing. She's talking about the basics. Like,
bitch.
Oh
my God. Like, what it... Stacey.
This is embarrassing.
Stacey, I know that you were trying to extend your 15 minutes of fame because they stopped booking you on Fox News, okay? Because there's no longer a black president, so we don't need black people on Fox News. We don't need that no more. So you ain't got no job. You ain't got no job, Craig. You ain't got no job. We understand that. But what you not finna do is act like you about to represent some people that if you pass them on the street, you would cross the street. If they walk by your car, you would lock your door. Don't
the people
we don't
ain't asking Stacey Dash.
They don't even know who Stacey Dash is. and the clip that they were showing, she was setting herself up right next to Diamond and that other broad.
Oh, Diamond and Silk.
Diamond and Silk.
Polyester and cotton.
You out here with Diamond and Silk, them is your road dog, sis. Like, they couldn't even find a picture of you with Omarosa or Ben Carson. They found a picture of you with Diamond and Silk, which tells you on the scale of cooning ass black people, you are at the very bottom of the road.
Damn.
I need you, Stacey.
Bad.
Stacey, you ain't never gonna get your black car back. Let's just be honest about and upfront about
it's gone, burnt.
But what you can do is fade away into oblivion.
Leave us alone.
Finally. Leave us, you and Rachel, cold
and
hands.
I'm about to say, go with
you,
Rachel.
Kumbaya, you go back to wherever the hell it is y'all came from. I don't understand where it went wrong because I was riding for Stacey and Clueless. I don't know what, I don't know. Literally, it all fell down after that Kanye
was leaving. It all fell down.
Stacey, like, we was rooting for you. We was all rooting for you. How dare you? What
her
was
Rachel
it?
Her and Rachel can go braid each other hair and mind their business.
Stacey ain't even trying to get her hair braided.
She not.
Stacey is the kind of, okay, we all went to school with this type of black person who thought she was better than the rest of the black people. She's a type that would get her hair permed, but wouldn't say that it was permed. She would just say it's a blowout. She's the kind that, you know, looks down on black people that listen to rap music and that dance. She's not, she don't get down like that. But now you found yourself between a rock and a hard place because you don't fit within with anybody because you done isolated everybody else. So you're trying to make a name for yourself any way that you can. You're trying to get this shmoney any way that you can because your baby daddy is broke.
Who
because
you
got
daddy?
A whole bunch of kids. She married some dude and he cheated on her and he had a whole bunch of kids, so she barely getting any money. So that's why she wound up on this box. So
are we talking about Christopher Williams?
Not Chris. Hey, man. Nah.
Okay. Because I know she used to be with Christopher Williams, and I know that they broke up because he was abusing her.
Man, she traded him in for a white gentleman. So she thought she found her meal ticket, but the meal ticket wasn't as good as it. You know, it wasn't paying like it should have been. So Stacey, sis, I don't know what to tell you because you done put yourself in this awkward position. You can't come back home, and you can't go over there.
You don't go here.
You on the island, baby. You on the island. So that's where you gotta be. You done made your bed, now lie in it. We don't believe you. You need more people, but we wouldn't even fuck with the people that you need. So you just need to go ahead and just give it up, Delicious. Give it up, Delicious.
You know, look like a man. Interestingly enough, I feel like she hasn't gotten her Michael Steele wake up call yet.
I was thinking about Michael Steele. Michael Steele definitely got his.
Because she's using her pretty privilege. That's what she's doing. She's still out here because there's
a lot to be said about that. Because, and I was having a conversation with a friend of mine earlier today. Ironically, based on the conversation that happened on my Facebook about the movie Black Panther and somebody we went to school with.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, you did.
I behaved myself though because I was ready.
You did.
Nah.
But
I'm about to be on the show today.
There is a contingent of like a lot of conservative media spaces and conservative politics where, they have a lot of racist tendencies. They have a lot of racist policies. They have a lot of racist propaganda that gets promoted. And every now and then they'll find a Negro who is willing to promote said propaganda, said agenda, said political, perspective at the expense of like trying to just make white people feel comfortable about their shit. Mm-hmm. And Stacey Dash does a lot of that. Stacey Dash will echo a lot of the same shit that she hears a lot of racist white folks say in an effort to make white people feel comfortable about their shit. Like, so we talked, like I was talking to a friend of mine today. We were talking about like kind of like, you know, gun control and stuff. And, you know, I'm not necessarily of like the hard left, or I wouldn't even necessarily say hard left. A lot of my left leaning friends don't necessarily like guns. Right. And I get it. Personally, I don't agree. Right. I kind of sit in the middle on the whole thing because I do own guns and I have a different kind of perspective on it. But we were talking about it and it was just like, with the right, when it comes to guns, sometimes like, they'll be like, yeah, we're all for this gun control shit. We're all for the gun control shit when it comes to black people. Right. So like, say for instance, the NRA will come out and they'll say, well, like, yo, we're all for these gun rights. Yo, we should have, an AR-15 and we should be able to, own like hand grenades and all this other shit. Like, yeah, you all up for that shit until, of course, black people get a hold to this stuff. Right. So like out in California, the Mulford Act I forget exactly what year. I think it was 1967. The Mulford Act was passed in California that disarmed the Black Panthers. Guess who was a prime example of the resistance for that? The NRA. The NRA was the ones out here saying like, yo, we got to get these guns away from these niggas, right? And so like every now and again, like you'll have a black person who will they'll put that black face to a lot of the white talking points. So when Philando Castile was shot and killed, and he was a legally armed gun person, he was legally armed. He was informing the police officer, like, yo, I got my gun in the car with me. I'm legally armed. He had a woman and a child in the car with him, and that police officer still shot him. And the NRA went out of their way. First, they didn't say any motherfucking thing. And then they went out of their way to try to make it out as if it was his fault that he got shot. And when it comes to Stacey Dash, she'll ignore a lot of that shit. You know, she'll ignore that stuff, but she'll say that like, yo, even now it's almost as if she's just like, yo, I need something. Like Fox News, it was interesting that she didn't come out on her first interview as an actual fucking candidate on Fox News. Right. She had to go to MSNBC because MSNBC was like, all right, fuck it. We didn't even put one of our main hosts. I didn't even know who the fuck this guy was. I was like,
he was
like
an affiliate. That's the funny part about it.
Like, I didn't even know who the fuck this dude was. It wasn't Rachel Maddow. It wasn't motherfucking... It like, who is this dude? Like, I mean, he did a decent enough job.
I didn't even realize that. Y'all right. I didn't know
who is this guy? She didn't even get like a main person. Like, she got like the weekend guy on like at weekend afternoons, you know, that weekend afternoon slot. And she's doing this, and it just like it screams pathetic, yo. Like,
it's so sad.
And I'm so sick and tired of, like, you know, of black people allowing themselves to be used in such a way to, like, not only vote against and promote policies against their own interests, but to also give room and give comfort to white people for having fucked up views about black people. And Stacey Dash sits in that spot where she has fucked up views, and she lets white people feel comfortable about those fucked up views because she also echoes a lot of those fucked up views for her own benefit. And that's my problem with Stacey Dash. And that's why Stacey Dash's ass is the ass hat of the week this week here at the Span Report.
She's a dirty Q-tip. That's what she is.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Throw her in the trash can.
Dirty Q-tip. That's what's up.
Dirty Q-tip.
Put that on the shirt, girl. Put that, put that
on the shirt. Yeah.
But of course,
her and her friends.
But of course, here at the Span Report, we don't go out of here with the ass hat. We never leave on some bad shit. We got to leave out of here with the champ of the week. All right, our champ of the week this week here. Oh, shit, where the hell did he go?
Uh-oh.
Okay, here we go. Champ of the week this week here at the Span Report is 2-year-old Parker Curry.
Yay!
Now, Parker Curry went to, what was that, the National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. And she was the little girl who was photographed in awe of that picture of Michelle Obama. Now, this week, she was actually able to meet Michelle Obama. So we're going to read this story here out of thehill.com. It says, Michelle Obama on Tuesday met 2-year-old girl who was photographed staring in awe at the former First Lady's new portrait in the National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. A photograph of Parker Curry in front of the portrait went viral last week. Now, this shit's got a lot of Twitter mentions in here and stuff. Fuck that. Since Parker was in front of the portrait, and I really wanted to turn around so I can get a picture with her, and she genuinely, honestly could not turn around, her mother, Jessica Curry, told CNN. In further discussion with Parker yesterday and today, I realized that she believes Michelle Obama is a queen, and she wants to be a queen as well, Curry said. As a female and as a girl of color, it's really important that I show her people who look like her that are doing amazing things and are making history so that she knows she can do it. The former First Lady's portrait was unveiled at the gallery along with the former President Obama's last month. Baltimore-based artist Amy Sherald was chosen to paint the First Lady's portrait. Michelle Obama said she was a little overwhelmed, to say the least, after the painting debuted. So, yeah. Good news.
That little girl was so adorable.
Oh, man.
I love her.
And I am a new aunt, auntie for the second time to a little girl.
Congratulations.
And a bunch of my friends have also had little black girls since then. So that just extra warmed my heart. Like, oh, she gets to see this too and be just like her, this little girl one day. So, yeah, that was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dope. And
they were dancing.
Yeah, oh, I saw that. To Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. So, like, that happened.
Out of all the songs, Taylor Swift.
I know, right? Hey, listen, but you know what?
Niggas hate Taylor Swift, but for a little kid, she be having some bops. I would be in the house too.
Hey, check this out. Taylor Swift probably got all the jams on the Kids Bop 97. You know what I'm saying?
She did. That's one of the ways I first heard about it.
So there you go. There you go. But yeah, man, Taylor Curry is the champ of the week this week here at the Span Report Podcast. And I want to leave out on a positive note, as we always do. But before we get out of here, I want to thank you guys here at the Bad and Boozy Podcast. Also, since I got you on, Summer, thank you again for the Beer and Chicken podcast intro. Because this is the voice behind the Beer and Chicken podcast intro, y'all. So, like, we got to show her some extra love tonight. Because, look, like, I was like, yo, man, like, this shit sound like... Oh. First, when I first hit her, I'm like, wait, you sing? like for real? She's like, yeah, I got you, for real. I'm like, okay. And then she sent it in. I'm like, I don't even have to edit this shit. Like, so I appreciate you. I really do.
I forgot that she mentioned doing something for you.
Yeah.
And then I checked out one of the episodes. And I'm like, bitch, this you? Like, I forgot
she did. I mean, she was like, this is the thing. And I was like,
hold up.
You know, I did a thing. I did a thing.
It was good.
I appreciate you. So before we go, remind the folks how they can get in touch with you guys over at the Bad and Boozy podcast.
Well, you can get at our PayPal at www.paypal.me.
There you go.
Bad and Boozy Pod.
There you go. You know, donate.
It pay black women.
Yes, pay black women.
I'm also available at FabFreshAndFly at Instagram and on the Twitters. Don't be intimidated by my amount of followers. I'm trying to get to the 5,000 level club so I can get my blue check.
There you
I'm
go.
Strong at 1,560. And then D.
My personal page, you can find me at Brains and Buns on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow the show at Bad and Boozy Pod. So that's Bad, spell out the word, and Bad and Boozy Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We pretty much got something going on all those platforms, whether it's sharing stuff about wine and beer and articles and shenanigans. But yeah, definitely do that. And just keep up with us. If anybody is using, we use an app called Delectable for our wine reviews. It's the same thing as both of our Twitter names. But if anybody is interested in seeing what we're drinking, we write reviews over there. And if the listeners follow us, we usually follow them back and sometimes share what they're drinking or use their ideas for, like, suggestions of other things to drink. You can scan wine and beer labels over there. So you can find a little wealth of information over there. It's kind of fun. It's another way for us to interact.
I'm gonna have to add that to my phone because I didn't even know that was an app.
Yeah, since you mentioned your wife, that's a good way to help your knowledge, because when you're in the store, you could like scan the label and see what other wine pros and people saying about it before you buy it.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
I'm about to get
so
that.
What wine do you drink? I know you say you're not a wine drinker, but do you drink at least, you know, Moscato or Cab?
I drink Moscato only because like that's easy enough to like just go and get like, and I'm not really versed in the whole wine thing. Like my thing has been like beers lately. So
you should get into it though. If you like beer, they have a lot of parallels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I definitely need to like kind of learn a lot more about it because, you know, like I said, man, like my wife is, you know, she drinks the wine and I want to like kind of surprise her with some shit and she didn't have to tell me to go get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I got this for you, babe.
Well, another idea would be to, I guess, as the weather warms up, we'll pay attention to, like, your local wineries and breweries and stuff like that and just try, like, do, like, samples or try something or whatever. And then, like, let's say if y'all out shopping on a Saturday or something and it's, like, a wine shop, a lot of the wine shops might do, like, a tasting from, like, 2 to 5 or something. Mm-hmm. If you stop in to taste a couple things, just pay attention to what she said and then and then go back. Maybe ask a couple questions to the store clerk or something like that, then go back and buy it.
There we go.
Besides, if you're taking your wife out to a fancy dinner, whether it's like Ruth's Chris or Roy's or Del Frisco's, you ain't going to order 2 beers.
Mm-mm. You got to know what wine to order.
You got to know what wine to order, man.
You're right. Although I have been guilty of.
Don't take your wife to Chili's, okay?
No, hold on. I eat Chili's a lot. It's right around the corner. But
Don't order, hold on, Summer.
I got a beef with you though, because you recommended me like I remember. Hold on, we supposed to be closing out the show, but fuck this. This is my show. So you recommended to me Fogo de Chao. I remember I put this on Facebook a while ago. I was like, yo, what is the difference between Fogo de Chao and Texas Day Brazil, right? And so me and my wife, about 3 weeks ago, we went to Fogo. They ain't even had lobster bisque, yo. What's up? Like,
Hold on.
Texas Day Brazil has lobster bisque. I am known to take my filet mignon and I sop it up with the lobster bisque. It is the greatest shit ever, yo. Like,
this is hilarious.
I would recommend anybody.
You're such a nigga. I'm looking for that cheese bread when I go to the place.
Oh my God.
Bread, I ain't messing with it.
Now, I say
the plantains.
Fogo's bacon was on point, right? The bacon was on point. But like, I was like, where the lobster bisque? I couldn't find the lobster bisque. I couldn't sop up my filet mignon with the lobster bisque. I was a little disappointed, so I'm just saying.
But did you get the picanha steak? The picanha, oh.
They didn't even have that when we were there.
I have not had steak in 3 years. I kid you not. But I plan, next time I see my boo thing, I'm going to take him to a Brazilian steakhouse. And I will eat.
So is y'all telling me I need to get a boo? Because I need to go to the steakhouse.
Man.
Take yourself, girl. Like, go in there and have a good time. Like, it's good eating.
My birthday is coming up, and I normally take myself the last 2 years.
Have them take you to this place. If there's a Fogo de Chão near you, or if there's another kind of Brazilian shake.
Yeah, we got both of them here.
Have them take you there. You know, you got the little green and the red, and you turn it over to green so that they keep bringing you the meat. Get you the picanha, which is the Brazilian steak. They have the garlic steak, the bacon wrapped steak. They have lamb. Yeah. They have bacon wrapped.
You got gauchos there in the DMV area.
What is called gauchos?
Gauchos.
I'm not. That don't sound familiar. I also don't go out to eat a lot, but that don't sound like it's some uppity niggas around here. So I feel like I would have heard about it.
Hey, check this out though. When I was in DC for NegroCon last year, we went to what was that, Coco Sala? That was the
they closed.
What?
I went to Coco Sala too.
That was the fanciest ass steak and eggs I ever had in my life, yo.
Hold up. Were you there with me?
Yeah.
Was we there at the same time?
Shout out to Ashanti, because Ashanti hit me up. Ashanti hit me up. It was my birthday that day. And Ashanti hit me up.
I think you was kind of behind me.
And I got there late. Like, I got there after everybody else. Because, like Ashanti hit me up. And I was, like, really trying to figure out how the hell am I going to get to the National Black History Museum, the Smithsonian joint. And I'm like, okay. And, like, Brandon hooked me up with, like on some ticket shit. And I'm like, yo, good looking. And I actually got, I left there from Coco Sala. I left there and I went to the National Black History Museum and I was late as shit. My ticket was expired. They still let a nigga in, yo. So I was like,
yes.
But Coco was good.
The Coco, it was so good. We found out recently that it was, that like they literally just closed maybe a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, man.
It was so good. But anyway.
And I did look up, there is both a Texas de Brazil and a Fogo de Chão near you.
Yeah, I know those two.
If you're a fan of the lobster bisque, I mean, by all means, visit the Texas de Brazil. But
yeah, I know both of those are here because I told you the uppity Negroes, I'd be known.
I prefer Fogo de Chão because the one out here is in Beverly Hills. So you know.
Well, I went to the one in Troy, Michigan, and Troy is like our Beverly Hills. There's some rich motherfuckers out there, but like,
do they have a Roy's over there? They got a Roy's?
I don't know, but they got like that's Morton's and
I might have to consider that for my birthday.
They got like Morton's and Ocean Prime, and it's a lot of nice, really highfalutin ass restaurants out there.
But do y'all got what is it called? They have it in like Texas and Atlanta. It's the seafood place.
McCormick and Smith's?
No.
I about to say. Oh, shit, I don't know no seafood place.
I can't remember what it is, but it's
don't you hate that?
Oh my God. Man. They have one in Denver, but I couldn't go because it was just.
I found this random, I don't go out to eat much, but I found this random steak and seafood spot at National Harbor when I first moved to D.C. So that's where I've been taking myself for the last 2 years.
They got like alligator and stuff.
I don't want no alligator. I just want
I get alligator when I go to New Orleans. That's when I get my alligator.
It's New Orleans kind of place.
Oh yeah, that do sound like something I would.
Papa Do's, y'all got Papa Do's out there?
Not here. We don't have that here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know about Papa Do's. We don't have that here.
Man, I do some strange things for a trip. I'm just saying.
We got some shit here in Detroit called fish bones, and it's supposed to be like, you know, New Orleans style, like kind of food. And I'm like, nah, after you've been to New Orleans, like this some bullshit right here, man. Like y'all need to stop with the shenanigans. But this has been the longest outro to the Spam Report podcast ever in the history of the Spam Report podcast. But
we're happy to be a part of it.
Yes, indeed, man. Before I go, man, I got to let y'all know, the Spam Report Podcast Network does have a store at TeePublic. Go to teepublic.com right now. Search up the Spam Report on there right now. Get your Spam Report gear at 30% off, man. Right now. 30% off. You get your t-shirts, $14, man. We got like 7 different shirts up there. We got mugs. We got onesies for the babies, man. We got like notes and like notebooks and like coffee mugs and water bottles and tote bags and pillows. The whole shebang, man. So go ahead to teepublic.com. Search up the Spam Report. Get yourself some Spam Report Podcast Network gear, man. Also, visit www.thespamreport.com. Donate to the show. You can watch the replays of this show. You can watch replays of all the other shows. You can go there and vote in the polls, man. You can leave comments. Everything's available there at thespamreport.com. Leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man. All of those reviews are appreciated. The 5-star ones get read on the show. You can say some fucked up shit about the show so long as you leave them 5 stars, bro. Like, real talk. And last but not least, follow your boy on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So chop it up with your boy throughout the week. And we can do what we do. But thank you again, ladies, for joining me here for episode 197. I really did have a good time, and I hope you did as well. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam, peace.